Let us read God's word from Genesis chapter 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but I'm so sorry, the lighting is a bit. I'm gonna use my technology, which is lighter. Very sorry. Oh, here we go. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now she knows she's pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I am running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." Hagar gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." This is why the well was called Bia Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Amen. This is God's word.
Thank you, Jax. And I'm now going to invite Annalee to come back up as she leads us in her talk and reflection. Very much looking forward to it, Annalee.
Well, as I said, it's just such a joy to be with you this morning. Honestly, walking into this church, I just feel at home, and you guys have made that possible for us. For me, it just feels like such a place where the Lord is present, and I am so aware of your prayers over us as a ministry that meets here, and I just want to say a massive, massive thank you. It's been, Chris asked us, it's been 14 years that we've been doing Young Lives here in Dundee. I actually cannot remember when we first started here, which was Chalmers, Ireland, now Craig Owl. I think Gordon would probably be able to tell you, because that's when he started getting really constant messages from me organising things. But we've been here quite a number of years, and it has just been wonderful for us. I'm aware that since I was here speaking last, there's so many more of you here and new people, and that's just so exciting. exciting. So just to share with you a little bit about the Ministry of Young Lives, that's not what I'm going to speak about this morning necessarily, but I want to share a little bit with you, if that's okay, before I do kind of share from what Jack just read in God's Word. Young Lives, our mission statement is to introduce expectant and parenting teenagers to Jesus Christ and to help them grow in their faith. So there's an outreach component and a discipleship component. And thanks to you, what this church is for us is a place, a home for the ministry on a Thursday in particular, place where the girls, young mums come in with all their wee ones. It's a safe and secure place, which often they don't have, a place to come together as a family to have fun. And boy, do we have fun. We help play games, we do crafts, we do all kinds of wonderful things on a Thursday morning. And as a family, we build relationship and get to know one another and have a chance to share Jesus with many of the young mums that come along. So rather than speak at you, because I'm going to obviously be sharing quite a bit in a minute, I thought I would show you a little video. I've got the clicker, Linda. A little video that we have made that will maybe just explain things a little bit more. So yeah, if you would love to hear more about what it is we do in Young Lives, I hope that's given you a little bit of an overview. It's a very big organisation that is working with teenagers all over Scotland and the UK and overseas and many, many countries. But the only Young Lives group we have is here in Dundee and very specifically working with teenage mums. And so if it's something that's on your heart, something you would love to be praying for more, but something you'd love to hear a little bit more about and see how you can get involved, please do catch me at the end of the service. But as you probably can understand, understand. I feel like one of the luckiest, or my husband doesn't allow me to use that word very often, blessed people ever, because I get to, on a daily basis, share the gospel with my words and my actions. And I know that is a rare thing to have opportunity to do in your workplace. And I get a chance to speak of who Jesus is and what he's done in my life and what he can do in the lives in your life if you come to follow him. And I get to do that with young people every day. And it is such a blessing, such an honor. And as I was preparing for sharing with you today and thinking about the work that we do through Young Lives, I was struck by the idea that we all experience the gospel on a personal level, don't we? When we meet Jesus for ourselves, we have a personal story to share, a testimony of what meeting him and experiencing the good news looks like and is for us. And it also, we grasp an understanding who God is. And yet, when we look at the Old Testament, we go back and look at the Old Testament characters, those who lived before the coming of Jesus, it's interesting to think that how did God reveal himself to them? It was different, but it was still that they encountered him and he met them and rescued them. And we're going to look at one of those characters today, as you heard, as Jack read from the account of Hagar in Genesis 16. So I called today's message, The Gospel According to Hagar. Now, I know you're probably were sitting there as he read thinking, this is quite an unusual story and passage to choose for a Sunday morning, you might say, but I am just really standing here confident that this is what the Lord led me to share from this morning, so please bear with me. I am not some fancy teacher of the word, and so there's we're probably not going to cover everything that was in that whole chapter, but I would just love to kind of share with you some of the things that I felt the Lord really revealed to me and encouraged me with recently, and we're going to spend some time in the passage and try to think about how it ties into the experience of sharing the gospel also with our Young Lives friends that we have done over the years. So diving into that scripture, we read in the scripture accounts of people who would be recorded as saying, I met with the Lord. For example, I'm sure some of you will think of, in Exodus 3, the Lord appears to Moses in a burning bush, in flames of fire. And in Joshua 5, we see Joshua is met by the commander of the army of the Lord. So God appears or sends an angel, or whatever, as a general and commander with a drawn sword in hand. And here in the story of Hagar, we read in verse 7 that the Lord appears as an angel. And as I thought about this, what really struck me is that in these accounts, God isn't showing up in the same way each time. He's not predictable, nor does he necessarily appear as we might expect. Different people meet with the Lord in different ways. And so it's for us too, isn't that right? That sometimes, though, I think we have a tendency to kind of box God in. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes we think we know how God's going to move or reveal himself to people, but that's based solely on our own experience of God. We think of the gospel and the good news, the most wonderful, incredible rescue plan of the Father, as being something that should be understood and experienced simply by others, simply in the way that we have experienced it ourselves. And I just love how much bigger God is than that. It seems crazy that we'd be attempting to limit an all-powerful, all-knowing, mighty and majestic God into a very restricted human experience. But we so often do. And I can share with you that I sometimes feel so frustrated when I'm sharing the gospel with some of our young mum friends. Like, how do you not get it? This is how I got it. And I have to try and think of different ways to share it and experience it. And I have to trust that God will show himself and reveal himself. But sometimes it's not in the way I would expect. And so it is here in this story that Jack read for us in Genesis 16, that actually God shows up here for a pregnant Egyptian slave in the middle of the wilderness as a mighty angel. None of those three things would have been how I would have expected God to prioritize his time. But here we have God showing up for a pregnant slave in the middle of a wilderness as a mighty angel. So as I went through this, lesson one for me is that I cannot judge another individual's experience of meeting Jesus, nor can I predict how he will show up for them. I can only with confidence know that no one is disqualified. Oh, we're maybe on a different There we go. No one is disqualified, no one is not worth it, and no one is too far away. No one is disqualified, no one is not worth it, and no one is too far away. So to recap on the story that we heard read, Sarai is barren. In this time, a wife's value and identity was completely tied up in her being able to have children and continue the husband's family line. So this would have been an extremely painful and distressing thing for Sarai. So we see Sarai taking matters into her own hands and gives her Egyptian slave to her husband, and Hagar becomes pregnant to Abram. We understand that this would have been probably culturally acceptable at the time, but it was never, and it is not, God's way. So then we see consequences like we might expect. Hagar becomes quite prideful, and she no longer respects her mistress, and as a result, Sarai retaliates, and it said in verse 6, she ill-treats Hagar. What a mess. What a mess. And in verse 7, we find Hagar has fled, and she's sitting near a spring in the desert. When we consider Hagar's position at this point, we see that she's in a physical wilderness, quite literally in a physical wilderness in the desert. She's fleeing from harm, she's unhappy, she's hungry, she's desperate, she's isolated, she's been mistreated, and here she is now, completely alone in a desert. She was in a physical desert, in a physical wilderness, but we also see that she was in an emotional wilderness too. She's not entirely blameless in the story. She'd participated in something that was not good, and it wasn't God's way. She had a lot of pride and self-righteousness. She'd seen herself suddenly become more important than Sarai and felt of more value due to the pregnancy. However, she most definitely was also a victim in the story. She'd been mistreated by Sarai and Abram, and now here she is, alone, scared, and fleeing the mistreatment of the whole household. This is the extent of the wilderness that she was in when God meets her. And I want us to pause for a moment and just think about the fact that perhaps many of us face wilderness experiences too. These may be physical wildernesses. We might have been outcast and cut off from family. We might feel marginalized in this community that we're living in, or isolated in some way. I certainly know, working on a daily basis with young mums, that they can identify with that type of wilderness place. They often feel very isolated and on their own. But there's no limit to the type of wildernesses that we might be finding ourselves in right now. A wilderness of hurt, a financial wilderness, a wilderness of mental ill health, a wilderness of loneliness, of loss, of grief, of family breakdown or heartache. Maybe some of us are facing a wilderness of faith. We can find ourselves in dry seasons sometimes, can't we? And we can't often sometimes see what God's quite doing in the midst of hardship. Some of us might be facing a wilderness of sickness and disease. But here in the gospel that Hagar experiences, here in the wilderness, the Lord meets with her. And before I go any further, I want to say that lesson two for me was the reminder, the wonderful reminder, that the Lord meets me, the Lord meets with you and will meet with you, and the Lord will meet with my beautiful young life's family in the wildernesses that we face. And it might be that we're finding ourselves in those places right now. Because like Hagar, no one's disqualified, no one is not worth it, and no one is too far away. So I just want you to maybe just take a moment to think about the wilderness that you might identify with right now. And let's speak truth into that wilderness. The Lord is here with us in this wilderness, and he wants to meet me and you powerfully and speak to us in that place. We see that Hagar is so profoundly impacted by this encounter with the Lord that it says in verse 13 that she gives God a name. This beautiful account of Hagar giving God a name. She calls him El Roy, which we see in the NIV is translated as the God who sees me. We can consider and just really embrace this in its simplest form. The God who sees me, the God who sees us. How beautiful is that? God sees Hagar. He sees us. He sees our young lives, girls. He sees us sometimes in our desperate state. And he values us and he never leaves us alone. He doesn't walk away from us when we're upset or in distress. In fact, in this account of Hagar, it says he has heard her misery. And that can be translated as God hearing her desperate cries. It's actually those desperate cries that calls God to her. And that so encourages me. Hagar didn't need to pray the most beautiful and articulate prayer or have the words to explain how she felt or what she was going through. The Lord simply answers her groaning cries, and he understands. When I share of Jesus with our Young Lives friends, it's such a beautiful thing to share that he meets us in our mess and our distress, and he answers our cries for help. I love when I get a chance to say, the Lord understands, Dundonian, you just need to speak from your heart. Because there's no fancy words that are needed. There's nothing that specifically needs to be said. There's no explanation that is needed. God understands all of it. And we can simply call on the name of Jesus. My youngest daughter, Mika, has this favorite verse in scripture, which can be found in 1 John 5, verses 14 to 15. And this is what it says. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Lots of words there, but so simple that we can call on the name of Jesus. It's as simple as that. But this name that Hagar gives Jesus, El Roy, actually, we can go a little bit deeper into it. And when we look at the original Hebrew, which I am not a scholar in, but I have obviously been looking at as I've been studying kind of Hagar a little bit, I've learned that actually the Hebrew would suggest that it's better translated a bit more like a question rather than just the Lord who sees me. It's a bit more accurately translated as, have I seen the back of the seer and been spared my life? I'll say that again. Have I seen the back of the seer and been spared my life? So the seer being God Almighty, God the Master, Creator of all things, who knows all things and is all powerful. Have I seen his back? And am I still alive? There's such an incredible realization when we think about Hagar saying that out loud and giving God that name that suggests that Hagar has actually realized for the first time, have I actually met with the one who knows and sees all things and is in control of everything? And even more of a surprise when she realizes, have I spent time in his presence and he spared my life? In understanding this, it's almost like this deeper translation that Hagar is fully undone. She's fully grasps who God is. She understands she's unworthy, that she's humbling herself and she's grasping her own wrongdoing. She's understanding her humanity and the grace of God extended to her. This totally shocks me, guys, just as a side note. This is in the Old Testament. This realization, Jesus hasn't even come yet. She understands all of this just by meeting with God in this personal encounter. We see this revelation sometimes when we share with our Young Lives friends too. First of all, they learn that God sees them and values them and knows them and he doesn't judge them, but he loves them unconditionally. They come to believe that they don't need fancy words to use, as I've said, that actually they don't have to work hard to clean themselves up before approaching him, that they don't have to earn their place, but that actually it's a free gift of grace that is there for them to receive. And then as some of them do come to know him more deeply and personally, they come to understand and grasp that concept of grace a lot more. There's a time when we've watched some falling to their knees and saying, have I actually met with the all-powerful, all-knowing God? We've seen some of them reach this place. We've seen some of them come and get baptized and grow in their faith. And there's some that are still on that journey with the Lord. And we continue to pray. We ask you to continue to pray for us that we can lead them faithfully to that place. But for us today, as we wrap up, what can we take away from looking at this story of Hagar? Well, I think Hagar stands as a testament of God's compassion for those who feel unseen. Her story is a reminder that God sees, he hears, he provides, even in the wilderness moments of life. Maybe her story reminds us that we need to accept our own humanity and our need for forgiveness. Maybe we need to ask the question in the deep places of our soul, do we long to know him more? Have we grasped the incredible gift of grace that's extended to us? Perhaps we want to think about, when was the last time that I really spent time in the presence of the seer? I don't know what your answers are to those questions, but my encouragement for us today is that whatever wilderness you are currently facing or that you might face ahead, God will meet you even there, like I see him meeting our Young Lives friends every single time I come face to face with them and hear of what's going on in their lives. I am astounded by the things that God is at work doing in their lives, and just to have the opportunity to show them that it's the Lord that's at work. I want to encourage you that he will and does hear your cries of despair, and he will reveal himself to you, maybe in a completely new, completely unexpected, and very surprising way. So I'm suggesting we keep our eyes open. And as you encounter him, I trust that you won't leave that place the same. I'm going to finish up there. Like I said, if there's things you'd love to ask me about to do with Young Lives and anything else that I share today, we're going to be hanging around a bit after the service, so please do. But can I pray for us as we just finish up? And I just pray that the Lord's transformational power will be evident in our lives and in the lives of the young moms that he gives us the opportunity to care for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, El Roy, the God who sees us. Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you that you are the same God you've always been from the very beginning of time right through today, Lord. Every single person that meets you encounters a loving, gracious Heavenly Father, a best friend, someone who knows us intimately, who knows us deeply, who cares for us, who values us, who doesn't expect anything in return. Lord, I thank you for your grace that you show us, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the story of Hagar, the reminder that you will show and reveal yourself to anybody, Lord Jesus, that there's no qualifications required. That, Lord, as we, like even as I was sharing with the little ones this morning, Lord, as we share in these different places of soil, sometimes hard places, sometimes easy places, that as we faithfully simply open our mouths or show who you are by our actions, that, Lord, that you will use that and that you will see things growing from that stepping out in obedience. Father, I pray that as our friends here today, Lord, go into these places around Ardler and the place where you have put our feet, I pray that we will be faithful to sharing you with our friends, sharing you into places that seem unreached, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will bring before us people that feel isolated, that are in these wildernesses of life, Lord, that are in the places where they feel that there is nobody that cares. Father, I pray that you'll give us opportunity to take you into those places. Father, I pray that we will be able to demonstrate and speak of who you are, Lord Jesus. I pray you will give us words to say. You will give us wisdom to know how to respond, Lord. I pray that we will see you revealing yourself, Father, more and more to people in our community. Lord, and as they meet you, I pray that they will encounter a living God. Father, they will understand who you are fully, that we will see lives transformed, Lord, that you will use us and equip us to be your vessels. But Father, I pray that ultimately you're the one who sees these seeds grow, Lord, and you're the one who takes our humble offering, Lord, and uses it for your glory. So Father, I pray today that we will go out from this place, and Lord, in our own lives, that we will spend more time with you. We will spend more time encountering you for ourselves, Lord. I pray that you will meet us in the wildernesses of our own lives, that Father, we will not feel alone, that we'll know your presence with us, and remember that we can ask anything in your name, Lord Jesus, and when we do, that you hear us and you respond. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you've shared with us today. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen.